message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Come on! Hallelujah. Amen. Help me celebrate your pastor, Pastor Elijah. Glory to God. The presence of God is strong, strong, strong in this place. Amen. So strong. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and just bless the name of the Lord. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. Hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you for your mercy, for your grace, for your glory. Thank you for your anointing here present. Thank you for the mighty hand of your spirit here present. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Can you just wave your hands to the Lord and bless him? Just bless the name of the Lord. I want you to say words of grace, words of adoration to the Lord. Words of worship to the Lord. Come on now. Go ahead and bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. Oh my soul. And worship his holy name. You're rich in love. Come on. You're rich in love. And you're slow to anger. Your name is great. And your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship, come on.
Worship.
You're rich in love. Come on.
You're rich in love. And you're slow to anger.
Softly.
Your name is great. And your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find.
Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and just bless the name of the Lord. Give him praise. Give him praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. Amen. Wow. What an anointing is in this place. Please, you may be seated. God bless you. Thank you. Wow, 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 wow. Glory to God. Now, are you ready for the word? Okay, you're not sounding like you're ready. Are you ready for the word? Okay, if you're ready for the word, let me hear you shout hallelujah. All right. So let's begin from Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And the Bible tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can we say that together? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. All right, so it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, what is the substance of things hoped for? I can't hear you. What is the substance of things hoped for?
Faith.
What is the evidence of things not seen?
Faith.
So what faith is what it is. Amen? What faith is what it is not. Someone says, really? Yes. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Why? Because that is what faith is. For example, I expect to cash out some money, maybe from my account or from an investment I did, and there was a promissory note as an evidence that the money is in my account, my bank account. And they sent me maybe a message or an SMS alert. And that SMS alert is informing me that I have maybe 10,000 naira or 50,000 naira. Let's use 50,000 naira in my bank account. Praise God. Now, I don't have the cash yet. The cash is not with me yet. But I have the evidence that that amount of money, 50,000 naira, is in my bank account. So, I have not yet seen the money physically, but I know that that money is in my bank account. Praise God. So, I can hold the SMS alert as an evidence that the money is mine. Praise God. Okay? Now, someone says, okay, where's the money? And I showed you the SMS alert from the bank or from the company, the investment company, that I have so amount of money in my bank account, 50,000 naira. Praise God. Now, that's faith. Though I have not seen the cash yet, but I believe, I know, I understand, I allude to the fact that I have that particular amount of money in my bank account. All right, thereafter, I could take my ATM card and then visit any ATM around and I can cash out some money. Praise God. Now, what gave me that assurance to go to the ATM? Amen? Was the fact that I received an alert, right? Which was the evidence that I had that amount of money in my account, right? And so I followed that alert. I rested on that alert. I believed that it was so because I saw something from an authoritative source. Praise God. And I believed it. Are we together? Glory to God. And that's what faith is all about. So God has given us a lot of SMS alerts in his word. Amen?
Amen?
From Genesis to Revelation, you have a lot of SMS alerts. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. So we have a lot of SMS alerts in the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Now, the alert is in the book. Amen? Before you can have an assurance, that alert is your own. It has to be in your heart. It has to be in your spirit. Amen? The alert must register deep within you. Deep within you. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
That means you have to believe it. So look at this. We have 66 books in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, and all the messages, all the words, all the SMSs, SMS alerts that we have here, all right, came from heaven, from the Father himself. Holy men of old spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So they didn't speak of their own will. They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So this SMS alert, all right, is in the book. Now what God wants to do is to put the alert in your spirit. Put the alert in your heart. He wants to put it inside you. The moment that alert gets inside you, then you can believe that it's your own SMS alert. Amen? See it? But before then, it's an alert in the book. Now, it is not enough to know what is in the book. It is good to know what is in the book. But it is not enough to know what is in the book. You also must know what is in the book that is written to you, that is written of you. And that very thing must register deep within your heart before you can say, that's my word. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
All right. So the Bible tells us that it is with the heart that we believe. You don't believe with your head. Until your heart, the core of your being, your spirit being, receives the word of God, then you have not believed it. Until the heart receives it, you cannot believe it. You can only believe the word that your heart has received. Until your heart takes the word of God, you cannot believe it. Praise God. So it is important that you receive the word of God. Let me give you a couple of scriptures here. In the book of John, Gospel according to St. John, chapter number 1. And start the reading here from verse 11. John 1 and verse 11. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. Okay, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave what? Power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now I want you to mark the word receive and believe.
Receive.
Amen. Mark those words. Did you see it? Receive and what? Believe. Now, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, why didn't they receive him? Amen? Because they didn't believe in him. Did you see it? Because if you read on, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave the power or right authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So those who believe on his name, listen very carefully, those were the people who received him. So we can say authoritatively that believing is receiving. Believing is what? Receiving. If you don't believe it, you don't have it. The moment you believe the word of God, then it is yours. It becomes yours. Hallelujah. When you believe the word. So believing is receiving. Can we say that together? Believing is receiving. Louder. Believing is receiving. Louder. Believing is receiving. So what have you received from the Bible? What you have believed. What do you possess or have from what God has said to you in the book, in the Bible, what you have believed. And God is committed to performing what you believe. In Luke chapter number 1 and verse 45, the Bible tells us, Luke 1 and verse 45, hallelujah, he said, Blessed is she that believed. Amen. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be what? A performance of those things that were told her from the Lord. Blessed is she that believed. So the one who believes is the blessed one. And what is the blessing in faith? God is going to perform what he has believed, what she has believed. Glory to God. Amen. So there's performance of that which you believe. Not performance of that which is written in the book for you, but that which you have believed of what is written in the book concerning you and for you. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. So you believe it. So what do you possess? What do you have? Is what you have believed. What you have believed in God's word. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen. Amen.
That's what you have. That's what you have. Now, let me show you another scripture here. In Romans chapter number 10, if you start the reading from verse 9, verses 9 and 10. The Bible tells us, it says, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believes unto what? Righteousness. Did you see it? It is with the heart we believe. You don't believe with your head. We don't believe with your mind. You believe with your heart, the core of your being. Glory to God. All right. Now, you believe with your heart unto righteousness, and you confess with your mouth. That one is very easy. You believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth. Amen. Of course, you know you don't confess with your hand. You confess with your mouth. So you believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth. Now, have you ever loved someone before in time past? Or you're in love with somebody you really, really love? Your parents, your loved ones. All right? Anybody? Amen. Okay. Now, when their names come to mind, how do you feel? You feel good, right? Okay. Now, there's a part of you beyond just your physical body that loves those people. Amen. There's a part of you that loves them. And what is that part of you? It is your heart. Amen. Your heart is that part of you that loves. So when maybe something happens to the person, an unpleasant thing, what comes to mind is, oh, you start emoting and sometimes you cry. Praise God. Man. Why? Because your heart is responding to that person in love. You see, that part of you that walks in love towards people, that part of you that does love people, that is your heart. And that is the part of you that believes. Amen? Amen. You know, I was trying to explain to some people where the heart is. The heart of man is not in his chest. I'm not talking about the heart that pumps blood. The heart of man is not in his chest. The heart of man is where? In his belly. Now, where's your belly? Come on now. Where's your belly? Your belly is below your chest, right? Okay, you're getting it now. Come on. Where's your belly? Talk to me. Okay, now talk to me. Where's your belly? All right, so that means you hold. I want you to hold your belly. Let's see. Because I want to be sure you know where your belly is. Amen. Praise God. All right. Now, when the Bible says in John chapter 7 and verse 37 that out of your belly, Jesus cried out in loud voice on the last day of the feast, does any man thirst? Let him come unto me and drink. He that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow, come on now, rivers of living water. So, belly. Now, he was referring to the heart of man. He was referring to the core of man's being. Praise God. All right. Now, your literal physical heart is here. Somewhere, you know, under your chest here. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And then covered by the ribs. Now, your belly is here. This is your belly. Right?
Yes, sir.
Or your tummy. Now, that means your heart is beneath your spirit being. Amen? Is deep down inside. Now, your physical eyes cannot see your spirit, but your spirit is your belly. Amen? The spirit of man is what? The candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, the word belly used again there, belly. You see it? So, belly, that means it's here. Now, when we hear God's voice, we hear God's voice from here, from your belly. Amen? Deep within you, not inside your stomach, all right, but your belly. Deep within you. So that means your belly is deep, deep down within you. Inside you. Did you see it? Now when you believe God, you can literally know deep within you that you are in faith concerning any matter. If you are in faith and you do not know it, you are not in faith yet. Amen? It's just like eating gari or eba. And you didn't know that you ate gari. Amen? Because faith is so real that when you believe God, your belly witnesses to it that indeed you are in faith. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So that means that your heart agrees with the word of God and your heart receives that very word that you have believed, then your heart is now giving you a witness within you that the word is working in you. Praise God. I remember those days when I began walking with God. Amen. I knew what I had entered into part time, and I knew what was going to happen to me part time. Praise God. I knew the things that I had received part time, and I knew the things that would happen to me part time. Amen. And I still do. Amen. Because you can't be in faith and not know it. You cannot be in faith and not know it. It is not possible. So the moment your faith is stirred and you receive the word of God, you can tell that indeed you're in faith for that particular thing. Very simple. Praise God. All right. Now, with the heart you believe, not the one that pumps blood, but with the heart you believe, the one that is deep, deep, deep within you. That is the core of your being. That is who you are. The true you. The real you. That part of you, when it grabs the word. Amen? When it takes the word, a hold of God's word. That part of you, praise God, is what knows deep within himself that you are in faith. It can give you what is called a knowing in your heart and then a knowing in your mind that you are in faith. Let me give you an example. Hallelujah. You remember the centurion that came on behalf of his servant that was sick? Praise God. There are two accounts in the Bible. All right. Matthew said he came. All right. Luke said he sent men. The Jews to start with. And then his friends. Praise God. But he came. Either directly or indirectly. Praise God. And he wanted Jesus to come to his house to lay hands on his servant that he might be healed. And the Bible tells us that he changed his mind and said, I'm not even worthy to have you come, all right, under my roof. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be made whole. Amen? And the Bible tells us that Jesus was alarmed. He said, I have not seen this kind of faith, not even in Israel. Amen? In other words, Jesus knew that he was in faith. And the man himself knew that he was in faith. And you see, when you are in faith, what you know about what you are in faith for is sufficient to bring it to pass. It's sufficient to materialize it. Hello? What you know. Now, everyone who came in faith to Jesus when he walked the face of the earth, listen very carefully, they knew they were going to receive what they came for. And none of them was disappointed. Are you sure I'm saying here? Not one of them was disappointed. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that what you know about what you are in faith for, that is in your heart, is enough to bring to pass that very thing that you are in faith for. Is enough to cause it to leap into being for you. Is enough. Praise God. I always tell people, I say, if you're in faith, that is enough. Come with your faith, sit down and listen to God's word. The anointing of God's Spirit will leap from the lips of the man of God, and it will attach itself to your faith. Because you see, faith all by itself, all right, is enough to receive the performance of what God has said to you that your faith has laid claim on. Praise God. Amen. But God will have to honor that faith. Now, when God honors your faith, the honor of God on your faith is the anointing of God's Spirit, the power of God performing that which you have believed. Luke 1 and verse 45. Blessed is she that what? Believed. She had believed. Now, look at that scripture again. It's not blessed is she that believeth. It's not blessed is she that believes. Blessed is she that, come on now, believed. So she had believed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When the angel of God came to her and said, you are blessed amongst women. You will conceive, give birth to a child. His name shall be called Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Now, when she believed that, listen very carefully, the moment she did, the word of the Lord came to her through Elizabeth. Amen. Thereafter, and said, blessed is she that believed. Elizabeth was prophesying. Praise God. When she heard the greetings of Mary, the baby in her womb leaped. She was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she prophesied. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be what? A performance of those things that were told her from the Lord. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
She believed. She believed. And what she believed was enough on her own part to see that promise come to pass according to God's word. What she believed was enough. I always tell people, your faith is enough. Amen? No razzmatazz, your faith is enough. If you believe, the power of God will locate you. The hand of God will locate you. Everything you need to have your faith honored by God and materialized will come to you. Because the basic requirement required or needed is your faith. That's all. Your faith is enough. Only believe. You remember what Jesus told Jairus? You remember? Be not what? Afraid. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. That's enough. I want you to turn to your neighbor, say, your faith is enough.
Enough.
Oh, come on, say it like you mean. Say, your faith,
is
enough.
Enough.
I can't hear you. Say, your faith,
is enough.
Amen.
Amen.
Your faith is enough. Now let's talk more about faith. Praise God. I can teach on faith forever. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. So then, or now then, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I have an evidence for the unseen already. I have a substance for the things that I hope for. Praise God. I have a substance already. Are you for what I'm saying here? That's what faith is. So that means if I can see what I was in hope for, then I'm no longer in faith for that thing. It has become sight. Praise God. Are you for what I'm saying here? All right. Because faith is not in the visible realm. Faith is in the invisible realm. Praise God. Are you for what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
So when I'm in faith for something, and I'm trying to look for the evidence of my faith in the visible realm, all right, I get out of faith, I step into sight. Are you for what I'm saying here?
Yes,
so that means that faith is actually the substance of the things you have not yet seen, you hope to see. Do you see it? You hope to see it. You have not seen it yet, but you hope to see the physical manifestation of that thing. But, or however, the substance of that thing is already in your heart. Your belly. Let me use belly. Praise God. Now, how many of us have been in situations, you didn't have a dime, not one naira, not one kobo with you, but you just knew deep within you that you will never be stranded. And you were never stranded. All right, that's what I'm talking about. That's faith. Amen? That's faith. We're doing a project one time, and we needed to pay some money for church. Project for church. And my wife came to me and said, "Sir, we need to pay some money, this particular amount, today." I said, "Well, who commanded the project?" She said, "God." Okay? I said, "Good. God commanded it. For me, I'm going to bed." Amen?
Yes, sir.
I want to go and sleep. Sleep. All right, and after my sleep, I will I'll wake up to know what God has already done. Amen?
Amen?
And she looked at me. All right, she was busy calling, you know, the team, asking them to know what was needed to be done. I was sleeping. Praise God. And I woke up and I asked them, "How much do we have left? How much do we have to go?" All right, and she said, "I think about 25 or 30 million. Wasn't it a small project?" So I said, "Father, thank you for the money. I give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen." And immediately I was done praying, giving thanks to God. You know, there are times you need to sleep to really be in faith.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because when you are awake, all right, your faith will start dwindling and dwindling. But when you are asleep, like Jonah,
yes, sir.
Praise God. Yes. You know, for Jonah knew that he had committed himself to the mercy of God. All right, that was why God sent that fish to swallow him. Amen. He was in disobedience, but he still trusted in the mercy of God. So when I said like Jonah, someone said, Many of us read the Bible like this. You don't read the Bible roundedly. It's only what you were taught in Sunday school that you can still remember. Amen?
Amen.
You have not read the Bible for yourself. Praise God. And he trusted in the mercy of God and God delivered him. Amen? Do you know it was one that suggested that they should throw him into the sea. Right? He said it. He says, just I'm the problem here. Just throw me away. And he knew what God was going to do. He knew. See, if you read the book of Jonah, one of the prophets of God, apart from David, a man who understood the mercy of God, was Jonah.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He knew what God was going to do. All right, let's leave it at that. Let's focus on faith. So I slept. I woke up. All right, and then the money came in. Praise God. The obligation was met and we paid. Hallelujah. Man, it's a campground. We are there now. Praise God. All right. In the Bible, it's a massive place. Praise God. Are you following what I'm saying here? Okay. So I went to bed. Why? Because there are times that your faith would demand that you go to bed.
Yes, sir.
If you are in faith and you are not restful,
amen?
Amen. Check that faith. It is fake.
Yes, sir.
True faith will bring you to rest.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You will rest and rest and rest. Does not mean you are inactive. Does not mean you are not doing anything. But listen, when you are in faith, there's this rest deep within your heart that everything is good. All is good. Amen to that.
Amen.
That's faith. That's faith. Praise God. Now understand that you don't need any physical evidence in the physical to believe God. You didn't hear me. You don't need any physical evidence in the physical to believe God. I'm stressing physical now. Physical evidence in the physical. So you can catch it. Amen?
Amen?
You don't need to see anything visible or anything as an evidence in the physical realm to believe God. Now, if you have to do that, then that's not the Bible faith. That is sense knowledge faith. It's sense knowledge. You see it? Now that means if you believe God based on his word, that's enough. So what brings about the Bible kind of faith primarily is the revelation of God's word to you. When the revelation of God's word comes to you, listen very carefully, your faith is stirred. Are we together? The revelation of the word. Now listen to this. This is very important. Most of the time, people who check for symptoms, is the symptom still there? Is it still there? Am I fine? The doctor said my temperature is whatever. Amen? And then they say, okay, it's like I've not received my healing yet. There are times God moves by his mercy to heal people who didn't believe in him. But he didn't do that because, of course, because of their faith, evidently. He did it because of his mercy. There's what is called the mercy of God. That mercy of God, listen very carefully, when it is working, all right, people do not need to believe before they can receive a miracle. But they may not be able to keep that miracle. Are you what I'm saying here?
Yes,
all right, they may lose that miracle at any time. Why? Because, listen very carefully, they have not exercised their faith. It is when you are in faith and you exercise your faith that you understand the revelation that brought that thing to you and you're holding on to that revelation. So when the enemy comes and he shakes you, all right, you are still holding on to that revelation of God's word. Amen?
Yes,
tenaciously.
Hey.
Did you see it?
Yes, sir.
So the revelation of the word is what produces the Bible kind of faith in you.
Yes.
But you see, If I go on my knees right now and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and intercede and say, Lord, let there be a move of the Spirit. Let miracles happen. And I pray long enough. There's what is called the sovereignty of God. That sovereignty of God, when it is working, all right, it will reign over and above your faith. Are you feeling what I'm saying here? The sovereignty of God is bigger than the faith of man.
Yes, sir.
Let me give you an example. In John chapter number 5, the man at the pool called Bethesda, you remember?
Yes, sir.
The man didn't believe a thing about God's word. He didn't even know who Jesus was. He didn't know. Praise God. And he was not the only one at that pool. There were many invalid people, all right, those who had all kinds of infirmities. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ walked up to just one man, only that man. Will that be made whole? And he said, well, I don't have anybody to put me, you know, inside the pool when the angel comes down to stir up the water. Jesus said, rise up, take up your bed and walk. Amen. He was the only one that was healed amongst many that were infirmed. The only one. Amen? Only one. So it was not his faith that got him healed. It was the mercy of God. Did you see it? It was the mercy of God. So there are times mercy will come, but it's just one thing about mercy is not general. Amen. I will have mercy on whom I choose to have mercy on. So God can look and say, you. That's one in glasses. You. All right. Stand up. Okay. Yes. Okay. And we'll just give a word of knowledge and bless that person. And someone is wondering that, but I brought this person to church. I convinced him to come to church. And God just did it for him just like that. Why? That's the mercy of God. The mercy of God is selective. The mercy of God is picky. Did you see it? But everyone who believes is blessed. Everyone. That means if everybody believes now, God will bless everybody. But you see, he may just pick two amongst us and have mercy on them. Why he does that, I don't know. What God considers before he, you know, shows mercy to people, I don't know. It's personal to God. You see it? All right, let me give you an example. One day, I was not praying. I was using the restroom, and I was there, and I was thinking about something not spiritual, just thinking about something on my phone. I was seeing something on my phone, but of course not canal, but not spiritual. Praise God. And the word of the Lord came unto me. I had fasted. I had waited upon the Lord to hear his voice concerning that matter, and God didn't say a word to me. But when I was using the restroom, God spoke to me. So I was wondering, why? Amen. I was preaching a conference at Ado Ekiti. There was a young man that came who had a challenge with his private part. Was a massive swelling there. Amen. And as I was ministering, he was on his phone. He was not listening to me. He was doing something on his phone, and he was totally distracted from the word that was going forth. And all of a sudden, I just said by the Spirit of God, there's a man here, young man here, you have this swelling in your private part. check, it is gone. So that was the word he heard and felt like, could that be me? Could it be me? So he quickly checked. And he saw that the growth had disappeared. So, yeah, he came out and he shared his testimony. He said, well, I don't know why God did it. Because I was not focused on God. I didn't even give him my attention in any way, but God still did it. Amen. That's the mercy of God. Did you hear me? That's the mercy of God. There are some people like that. God will lift them. But you see, people who understand the mercy of God and who do not understand the faithfulness of God, amen, most of them, they take the mercy of God for granted. Amen. They take the mercy of God for granted. For example, Solomon. Solomon was loved as a child. He was loved by God. Amen. And God scarcely appear to people. God can send his word to you, but for God himself to appear to you is not a common thing. All through the Old Testament, all right, there were very few people that God appeared to. Amen. Amen. Even David, when God was to cut the covenant of the sure mercies of David with David, he didn't speak to David directly. He spoke to a prophet in a vision. And he said, go and tell him. He didn't appear to David. Amen. Amen. Now listen. God appeared to Solomon twice. Solomon messed it up. Solomon did not make the most of divine appearances to him. He didn't count the mercy of God a great thing. Why? Because he did not understand the faithfulness of God. But what his father understood, David, his father, he understood the steadfast, faithful mercy of God. It's called the sure mercies of David. Praise God. See? So there's mercy. Because when we talk faith, sometimes if you don't give people this understanding of faith, and they feel like, well, I may believe, I may not believe. It depends on what God chooses to do per time. But that's not correct. When you believe the word of God, the way it is right now, you believe God's word. That's what God has chosen to do. His word. He will perform his word to you. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
He will do his word. I've enjoyed the mercies of God. Amen. And I have learned something from God's word. I won't tell you today. Maybe later. Because there are secrets. All right? And you don't share secrets in public places. Amen. But I have learned how to underpin the mercies of God. And the mercies of God can flow non-stop. Someone says, really? Yes. It's a secret. Amen? It is what? A secret. And that secret is so, so powerful. Someone says, well, why share it with us now? You know, if I share secrets with you, amen, you know what will happen? You will hear it and nod your head. You will not understand it until it is given to you to know. You know, I was sharing something that it took me almost 6 years to understand. And I was sharing with someone, and the person nodded his head like this. Ah. So I asked him to know if he really understood what I shared with him. Amen. And his response disappointed me. I was really disappointed. I said, Lord, why? He said, you wanted to give it to him. All right. It is not your responsibility to share secrets with people. Praise God. It's my responsibility to share it with them. So if I'm stirred to, I will. Like your pastor was with me yesterday, right? And we talked for like an hour or so. More than that. Amen. Praise God. All right. I was sharing secrets with him. Do you know God has secrets? The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. And he will show them his covenant. And when you know secrets, people will be amazed. Like, at the way I'm sharing God's word now, you may just be looking and say, okay, this thing is very simple. All right? And then miracles start flowing. You feel like, a simple word and then the great miracles. What's the correlation? I remember there was a young man who was with us for some time. He felt, because the way we did ministry was too simple. So he felt ministry is very simple. So he started doing ministry. And then he now came back like 3 years after and he said, sir, I was just sharing it the way you were sharing it with us, simply, and nothing happened. I said, you know what? It's not that God didn't call you. God called you. All right? But you need to understand the secret of God. Yesterday I was teaching and I got to a point. The Lord said, stop. So I stopped. And then miracles began to happen. How many of us were here yesterday? All right. You saw the miracles, right? Good. Sit down, beloved. God bless you. You want to stand? Wow. Okay, come. Wow. What are you believing God for? What do you want God to do for you? You have so many things.
Yes, so many.
So many. Wow. So many. Okay. All right. So, of the many things you want God to do for you, is there one cardinal thing that you're in faith for?
Yeah. And that is a total turnaround in my family, personally.
In your family. All right. Kneel down. Place my hand on you today. Father, and I ask that you would turn his family around for good.
Amen.
Let testimonies begin from henceforth in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let your glory stand him out from henceforth in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Wow. I see a new beginning.
Amen.
I see a new beginning.
Amen.
In your family,
Amen.
I see that new beginning.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. Wow. Now things will begin to happen, good things will begin to happen in your family in quick successions.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name. It is done. Draw near, the two of you, come. When I moved towards you and you stood up the first time and you sat back down, and then I moved towards you again and you stood up again, I just knew that it was about time for you to step into a higher place.
Amen.
a place of grace and glory,
Amen.
Of strength,
Amen.
And of power.
Amen.
Let the mighty hand of God rest upon you.
Amen.
Take it on you. Let him rest. Thank you, Father. I think this is your face mask, right? Is it yours? Okay, pick it up. It is done. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, what I just manifested there, that's secret. Someone says, what's that secret? When you're ministering and you talk, and forget that the Holy Spirit is also talking to you while you're talking. It shows you don't know secrets. You just keep talking, everybody's screaming, and nothing happens. But while you're talking, you're careful to listen to the Spirit of God within you. And it is what it tells you to do that will make the difference. Amen. There's somebody here. You've had pain in your shoulders, your two shoulders, this side and this other side. And it radiates to your neck and sometimes to your back. The hand of the Lord is upon you right now as I speak.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.